It's Tuesday night, which means State Senator Dan Katowski joins us for It Ought to Be a Law. We'll talk with author Margaret Harmon about her new book and her interesting article in the LA Times. And we'll discuss Rahm Emanuel's proposal to reduce the penalties for minor drug possession. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
It's getting pretty late. Do you notice that? It's not really late. It's just pretty late. And I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in the historic Tribune Tower. I'm a little amped, Craig. Actually, I was surprised. I asked you earlier because I was in the office if you heard me screaming. I'm a little bit amped because I just came from the last comic standing auditions at Zany's. There were 30 comics slated to do 3.5-minute sets. This is my third time auditioning for Last Comic Standing. The first time I auditioned was in the second season, and I made it to the top 10 for Chicago. What they did was they had over 136 comics audition during the day. We stood in line in 27 degree below zero weather in January of that year. I want to say it was 2004 because I was still lactating. That's how I know that. I believe Griffin was having a tough time with the frozen milkshakes that I brought home with him for him that day. So I was in the top 10 that year and lost to Jimmy Wiggins, who went on to the Las Vegas a step of that competition. And there was actually a big it was a little bit of drama. There was some controversy because two of the three judges had voted Jimmy Wiggins into the house, into the final round of Last Comic Standing. And when they found out that it was Brett Butler and Drew Carey had both voted for Jimmy Wiggins, and I guess during the broadcast sort of threw down with, hey, if he voted for him and I voted for him, then clearly this is fixed. So that was a little bit of drama in season two, and I was a part of that. And I didn't watch any of the broadcasts of that until someone called me one night. It was right when they were about to do the last showdown, and someone called me and using different language said, that was really messed up what they did to you last night. And I didn't know
what
they meant.
It's really hard for me to figure out what that language was.
Yeah. She said, that was really messed up what they did to you last night. And I had auditioned, like I said, I'd made it into the top 10. But in the editing, they took my audition from the day of. Again, I was lactating. And the reason that's important is because I was big. I was a little over, you know, I just had Griffin. And they shot, the Zany stage is very high, and they shot me from underneath. And the bit that they showed on television was the tail end of a bunch of comics saying, I'm half this, I'm half that, I'm half of racial origins. And I remember like one person was Korean and German, one person was Japanese and blonde, like that was all their mixes. And they actually capped the entire segment off with me saying, I love telling people I'm Irish and Mexican so they can yell, well, then get drunk and make me a taco, right? And I do like this really, and they actually slowed down the video to where I'm like, that makes you know, a leprechaun. And I it was all like making faces and double chin. I look like I look like Jabba the Hutt in Return of the Jedi. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's a funny joke if Jabba told it, too. That's a really good joke.
So they capped it off, and then they cut to Jay Moore, and he goes like this. He goes, ugh. He made that noise after my... So suffice to say, I decided I would never audition for Last Comic Standing because I had made it to the finals, the Chicago finals. I was in the top 10 out of the, felt like I had accomplished something. And then they took that and made it, they bastardized it was what they did. But you sign off on letting them do that to you. I found out later I actually should have gotten some money from them, cause I was Screen Actors Guild. And, when you appear on stuff, they have to pay you. And I did not follow through. I was young. I was a youngin'. I was in my 20s. Didn't know any better. So then I said no more. Nay, nay, in the words of John Panette. I said nay, nay to Last Comic Standing. And they came back around. The last go around, not this past season, which featured our very favorites, Rocky Laporte and Jimmy Schubert and Emily Galati. But they the one before that, where Felipe, I believe, won. So we got a call, and they said, you know how we usually do this big cattle call? We're not going to make you do that. We'll give you an assigned time. We'll give you an appointment, and we're really looking at you. Nod, nod, because it's casting. Some of it, they'll get some random people. So nod, nod, we will take a look at you, and we're very interested. I paid to go to Los Angeles. They were only doing auditions in Los Angeles and New York. And the only good thing that came out of it, was one, I faced my, they were mean to me, and I overcame that. Comedian Butch Bradley was in front of me, and you could hear the comics in front of you performing. Butch Bradley and I are very similar, very high energy comics, and Butch was out there, and I had a stopwatch. 28 seconds, they cut him off. They gave us 2 minutes to audition. The judges cut him off at 2 minutes, and my very good friend, my late friend, Greg Giraldo, shredded him. And it was, I mean, like, and then I started getting nauseous because I was like, well, one, how weird would it be to have my friend shred me on television? And also, I'm so similar to Butch as far as high energy and friendly and, hey, look at me, I'm, you know. So then I came out, and I wish I was making this up. I talked so fast. Those of you who don't like how fast I talk on this show, your head would have exploded because I came out and I was like, you know, before I was a comic, I had 40 different jobs. I used to leave my job in the middle of the day, not show up again because I was like, I don't want to do this job. You know, I was a lifeguard for a while, but I really hated that job and I wasn't very good because every time someone would start to drown, I'd be like, oh my God, I just had lunch. I'm sorry. I have to wait. I don't want to get a cramp. And I used to be a sales girl and I was like a crazy cheerleader on crack. Hi, can I help you? So before we can play, what size are you? And I was literally that fast. And I think they were so stunned by how fast I was that they let me go, and I did the entire 2 minutes at about that pace. So I did about 35 minutes of material in 2 minutes, and I got one yes and two no's, so I was bounced off. Greg voted me in, and the other two said, we have no idea what you just said.
We have no idea. That was a great HBO special you just gave us in 2 minutes. Yes. I have no idea what happened.
But, you know, I love that I went, and like I said, I overcame my fear of and my anger toward, it's like a bully, right? Like that kind of thing is like, you got to face your bully. And Last Comic Standing felt like my bully. So I went to my bully and I said, what? I'm going to make a fool of myself and I'm going to stand here and take it. But I got to see Greg Giraldo one last time. That was the last time I saw him, and he passed away not long after that series, the season finale of Last Comic Standing. And that's something I'll always treasure, that he followed me out after my audition and told me, you know, that where things had gone wrong, and he was very honest with me, and it was very sweet, and I adored him and I miss him all the time. And I think I told you this, Greg Giraldo, when I first worked with him, told me I was one of the top 7 female comics in the country. My favorite compliment I've ever gotten, because he told me exactly where I was on the list. When you say you're the top 7, you know, he could have said top 5.
You are one of my 8 favorite comedians I've ever heard.
You know, so I wasn't, but I mean, like, I wasn't number 10, but he went, no, Kathleen Madigan's funnier. He went, no, Kathy Griffin's funnier. You know, whoever I was on the list. Sarah Silverman, yeah, I'll take that. So I was number 7 on Greg's list, so that's fine. So I got the call not too long ago to once again come back and audition for Last Comic Standing. I did not submit. Yeah, I did. I submitted for that last go-around. Jimmy Schubert and Larky Laporte, who were in the top 10, and Emily Galati, who was in the top 20. I did submit for that and got passed over, but, you know, took my shots again. So tonight, they invited everybody. I mean, a really nice list of comics. I mean, everybody from, you know, the comics who are new and on the rise, to comics like, Larry Reeb, who we have had on the show. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle of new and old school. I mean, I haven't been doing it as long as Larry, but I've been doing it long enough to be considered, I guess, old school. And, can I tell you a secret? I kind of have a coach on this now.
Oh, you do?
Which I've never done. And I won't tell you who else he's coached, because that's okay. Kind of private. But he has coached other Last Comic Standing comedians, including ones, almost several of whom have been in the top 10.
Wow.
And but not like a coach, but like someone to go, let's look at your material and see what works and doesn't work.
Does he have a whistle?
Oh, God, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
Can we do that?
Can he get like some kind of sport jacket and a whistle?
Let's
when
get
he
him,
goes
let's
to
get
see
him on
comedy?
The phone. Let's get him on the phone and tell him he needs to get a whistle.
Yeah.
He went over, like, I type out all of my material. I also, what I do is I typewrite my material and then I handwrite all of my material and then I whittle that down to index cards.
Wow.
And so I have bullet points. And I've
is
done
that. Is that how you studied in school too?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. When I was in school, I would take lecture notes. I would go home and then rewrite those.
Yeah.
And then rewrite them closer to the final and then whittle those down to a study
that's
sheet.
That's smart what you're doing.
What it is it means that I have to work. I'm one of those people who always had to work harder to get things done. I'm not
naturally.
But
you're committing it to long-term memory. Mm-hmm. So like all the things you remember, you didn't remember for a test. You remembered for life.
Oh, that's adorable. No? Thank you for thinking
so. Is that true or no?
No, it's not true. I remembered it for as long as possible.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I can't even think of where that stuff comes up in conversation.
Yeah, none of it does. I don't have any of it.
The medieval convents that I studied about.
Good.
And the nuns that believe they had the stigmata.
You never had a joke about that?
It's never going to come up.
Never had a stigmata joke, huh?
Hold on a second. I should write that stigmata material. Where is the stigmata?
Taking me to the next level. Stigmata. Yeah.
And how that was really a manifestation of sexual repression.
Oh.
Sexual.
I didn't know.
Perhaps. Could have been sexual. Okay. Anyway, so that's
edutainment.
So, last comic standing. So, tonight,
yes.
Great. Oh, I have to tell you, I think everybody had some real. Like, mine was solid. Like, mine was not too fast. I did the material that I chose to do. We'll see how it goes. But I want to say, Nate Weatherup, who I had to follow, had an amazing set. Everybody had great shows. Emily Lake was great. Sydney Adeni was wonderful. Brian Hicks was great. I had to follow Nate Weatherup.
He brought the house down?
He did it. You know what's funny? There were two places people should have applauded for his set, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go around and slap people. I was trying to get the applause started. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm up next. I need him to not kill.
You
no,
have booed a
not
bit.
Boo.
Oh, right. No,
I need him
right.
to do well. Dobie Maxwell killed. I thought he did a great job.
Oh, nice.
Who else? A lot of
these
great
are
Vince Moranto.
It sounds like these are all people we've had on the show.
I did not create the list.
Yeah, apparently.
Sydney Adeni, Emily Lake, we have not had on. We should have her on. Jeannie Dugan was on the next show for Last Comic Standing. There was a 9:30 show.
Okay.
So, yes, Larry, John DeCause was on there. Did a great job. Yeah, a lot of great comics.
Cool.
So, yeah, they're doing Chicago, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, New York. We'll find out more. Anyway, that was my amped up evening. Oh, man. I should have chose different material. I need a whistle. We have a lot coming up on the show tonight. We have a lot of topics to get to. I do want to talk about that story with Rahm Emanuel wanting to lower the, I don't even, something about the criminalization, decriminalizing?
Yeah, he wants to decriminalize minor drug.
We'll talk about that when we
yeah,
after
yeah,
we. Did, only, no, 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 you're right. He wants to lower the standards by which we prosecute
right.
possession.
Right. So essentially decriminalizing the minor possession. Charges or something.
Yes.
I think that's what the
I was talking to somebody who we've had on the show before who I was like, well, why did you try to insinuate that I do stuff? He's like, you said it first. I have no problem saying I've tried marijuana.
Yeah, you
I
ate
don't,
like feet.
I ate
that's all we're gonna explain. You ate feet.
I ate feet. I believe my friend the comedian said feet for you.
Feet for you.
Only the feet for you.
You only get feet.
You only get feet. That's
yeah,
gonna
that's
make no sense.
No, it's not. That makes literally no sense.
The first caller who can explain what that means gets a $25
gift
card.
Two prizes. If you can call in and tell us what we're talking about, two prizes.
Yeah, two prizes? What are the two prizes that
I don't
they
know.
Get?
I'm not even gonna I'll decide that when
we still owe people like zickets to Zanies.
I had an email today about that. Yeah. Are you getting some of those?
No, we owe them. So November. I'm gonna be at Zanies. In November.
Cool. Right.
I will be at the downtown location, the St. Charles location, and mm-hmm. Rosemont. So anybody who has
you.
Won in the past will get will definitely
do
be
you do that
on
all
list.
In one night?
That would be ridiculous. And I come do this show, oddly enough.
You should have a party bus if you do that all in one night and bring all the people with you.
You don't want to say party bus to comedians.
Oh, no?
It was a bad year for party bus and comedians. That was a Tracy Morgan thing.
Oh,
that happened.
You're
let's
right.
not do that.
Okay, sorry.
That was bad. You didn't see that coming. You're like,
let's,
why can't I say something?
Well, you're right. Let's limousine?
Limousine.
Whatever, another form of transportation. Can you all take the L
just
together?
A Volkswagen. Can we just get like a Beetle?
Sure, yeah.
Maybe a Volkswagen.
An RV?
Ooh, doesn't Rauner have like a Volkswagen bus?
He does, yeah.
The Rauner bus.
Yeah, let's do that.
Then we had to get Quinn's lawnmower. We had all kinds of. I think it's only fair. I mean, I don't think
in November or December, you're going to have an audience ride in a lawnmower?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
We're going to ride Governor Quinn's lawnmower.
You can do the horse carriages.
Okay.
Those are nice.
Let's do that. Giddy up.
Only two people at a time, though. That's going to take a while to get to Rosemont.
Speaking of the political ads, have you seen any of them? Some of them are, I don't know what, Quinn's all seem to be like, look at this Ford plant where we're making cars. And
we've improved stuff, and I'm going to mow my lawn.
Exactly.
That
and
one I really got a kick out.
Isn't that great?
Mowing the lawn was just.
He's trimming.
Wow.
He's trimming
the budget.
Right, yeah.
And then Rauner's like, 100 years of Blagojevich and Quinn. Do you want another 100 years?
You should do that.
How about the one with the Bears season opener when they had the ad? It was right at the beginning of the game, actually, when Ditka was in there.
Oh,
did
yes.
you see that one?
Mm-hmm. I want to have a beer with Rauner. I'm sorry, Ditka doesn't sound like that, but he wants
No, that's
he?
How you do everyone's voice, though, apparently.
I want to be with Browner.
I want to be with Browner.
I'm going to quit. And I will cut your taxes and your lawn.
You know what the key is? If you don't sound anything like the person you're doing an impression of, just say their name as one of the things they're saying.
I'm Governor Quinn.
Do you ever notice, though, how every politician, no matter what party they're in, when they're running, they always want to talk about cutting taxes. They always
want to
talk about trimming
taxes.
The fat.
Yes.
They always want to, they all talk about wanting to do the same thing, and then when they get in there, it's, oh, did I say that?
What? Yeah. Show me the tape. Oh, it's right here. Oh, no, no. I don't know what you're talking about. That's
so
not
saying,
what I meant.
So, Bill, you're saying we could all run for positions? We just
sure.
have to say, I'm going to lower taxes.
No, no, no. How do you say it?
I'm going to cut taxes and lower things. You're going to pay less money to me.
Sure. Who doesn't want to pay lower taxes?
Right. Yeah, sure.
But,
yeah.
You know, the thing is if you pay lower taxes and you hardly pay anything at all, nothing ever gets fixed.
What you're saying is if you don't want to pay taxes, you also don't want your police department, fire department,
exactly.
Your roads to work or your street lights or your schools.
But that's the pitch.
I don't want any of those things.
Money. Who wants it? Vote for Greg.
And I bet if you go to a lot of states that have a low tax base, you will see a lot of things that aren't repaired and don't look very good.
Well, they have a couple communities that they have used as examples where that has been the case. Although there are a lot of states that don't have income taxes, and seem to You know what? I only live here.
I think they make it up in other areas.
Yes,
though.
In sales taxes. I think that's
correct.
I believe that's what Rauner's plan is, isn't it? To increase sales tax and decrease the income tax.
We had our first feet guest. Someone thought we were talking about pork. That is not correct.
No, it's not correct. What?
Nope.
When was Patty Vasquez offered the feet? Only the feet for you.
Feet
only
for you.
The feet for you.
Right.
There's really no way to give a hint for that. It doesn't appear in any publication or on Facebook. I was performing.
But it's been on this show, if you listen.
I was at the Asheville Comedy Festival. I had just finished my set. So
someone gave you feet.
Someone gave me feet to consume.
Mm-hmm. To consume. To put in your mouth.
And then I immediately said, I probably shouldn't have done that. I probably should not have done that. So let's do this instead. Oh, you know what that means. It's time for It Ought to Be a Law with State Senator Dan Katowski, who's on the line with us. Hey, Senator, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm good. I want to invite our callers to call or text, our listeners to call or text 312-981-7200. And if we vote your law into our arbitrary legislation, which means that nothing really happens except for we heard you, and possibly if it is something important and pertinent to the state of Illinois, the senator has heard you and everybody's heard you, and there's a possibility that we can move things forward for you. Is that right? Is that a good way to put it?
That is an excellent way of putting it. In fact, I ran into someone last week, and they said, you know, I listened to the show, and I can't believe that one of the suggestions actually became a law. I said,
It's the power of Dan and Patty.
It's the power of Patty.
It's the power of pretty late. It's WGN. A mammocracy.
It's the people. Like through Patty Vasquez, yes.
Well, it's about being heard. I mean, that's why we do this segment. That's why you and I felt very strongly about doing this. That's why we continue to do it every week, is that we're tired of people saying that nothing gets done, and then they don't do it. It's because they don't do anything. You know, and that's not to say that if you don't work hard and that you're trying to get your legislation passed, that you might still fail, but if you don't try, then you definitely won't get anything done. That's the way I look at it.
I met a guy yesterday. He just had given up completely on politics. He'd given up. And there's not a lot of reason for people to have a great deal of faith over, I'd say, the past a couple of decades. But in our country, in our state, but I said, look, I wanted him to know there are things that are being done which aren't necessarily being reported on. And it's just because there's so much that there's so many negative things that are out there, but he was like, oh my God, I had no idea this was going on in the state.
Right.
I had no idea this was happening. I didn't realize that there's vehicles for me to participate or get involved or have my voice heard. And I think it's gratifying for people because people feel like they've been shut out of the process and they just want to have a role in their government because it is their government.
And so, exactly. And hopefully this is one avenue for people to see that there are paths to having your voice heard. And that's all we're trying to do. Let's take our first caller. We have Alan, who has a law he would like to share with us. Hey, Alan, what's your law?
How are you doing, Patty? How are you doing, Senator?
Hello.
I think that after a road has been in place for 20 some years, that they should not be able to make it into a toll road.
Okay.
That should be for only new roads.
Okay, so if it's been there for 20 years, you can now install tow booths.
Yeah, the Elgin O'Hare, which has been in place for over 20-some years, it's only 5 or 6 miles long and doesn't go to Elgin or O'Hare Airport, but now they're widening it and they're putting up signs that it's being done by the Toll Road Association. So I imagine that once it's widened, they're going to put up toll plaza.
Have you heard anything with that? Are they putting up a toll plaza on the Elgin O'Hare? Senator?
Yeah, the Elgin Expressway, I believe that there's going to be, you know, an expansion to it as well. And that's an interesting point. I mean, I picked up that area when I was in the remap, and I used the Elgin O'Hare Expressway to get all the way out to Hanover Park. But there's a pretty significant expansion that's going to occur there.
So. Ooh. Are you okay? Alan, are you okay? It sounded like you were attacked by some sort of... Sound like a very large bird or bug had come in and attacked you.
I thought that was his creative way of just saying, stop talking about the Elgin O'Hare expansion.
Do you think it was a raspberry? You thought he went like that?
You know what? I think he raises a good point. One of the things that I think people often feel powerless about is the tollway, and it's a separate budget from the state budget. So I don't, as a legislator, I don't have oversight over the tollway budget. I have oversight over the tollway staff, not oversight. Their budget's presented before the Senate, but in terms of their execution of the budget, in terms of their voting on the budget, and they're like a completely separate, you know, government entity in a way. And I don't know how that occurred, but I'd really like to see that. In another respect, I'd really like to see that change.
Right.
Because they have so much autonomy, and it's like they operate at a completely different timeline, and they're able to get things done in some cases that are good, but in other cases people just are like, well, wait a second, how did this happen? To your point, sir.
Right. So let's take another law. So that's Alan's no toll booths on pre-existing roads. Now we have Dwayne, who has a law that he wants to share. Dwayne, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty.
Hey, Dwayne.
I have a law that you guys were talking about, honest politicians, and I think this should be a law that immediately, because Bruce Oberweis is wanting to establish the policy of limiting office time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a law that if you do not pass a law within, and you promise the law that your bill, then you should be immediately resigned immediately and forced out of office immediately.
Dwayne, you know what I see? I see like one of those, like a drop floor, you know, like a chute, you know, like if somebody doesn't, you can sort of like just drop them. What do they call that? A trap door. So what you want is a trap door in the floor of the Capitol Senate. So if they don't get the job done, yeah, and then they like are just dropped out. The floor opens up beneath them, and they're just like they go down a slide, and they leave Springfield.
Have a backup person where, you know, because you can't have an election every time every 100 years or 100 days. So have somebody, you know, have a backup plan of Oberweis is going to be in there, but if he doesn't get anything done, then so-called somebody else, they should vote on somebody else who can then take over immediately.
Very complicated.
Not like the next person down, like the vice president gets it, the presidency, but somebody who the people voted as well as the person they're voting.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, if they're not getting the job done, then they should step down. Right? He's on hold. All right, then. That's the way I'm interpreting the law. It's the best way I can really interpret. I have to shorthand sometimes just because I have to name the law.
Kind of like the idea of having somebody waiting in the wings, kind of like, you know what I mean? Like a
stand-in.
Like a baseball, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not delivering, you're going to be sent down to the minors. You're going to bring somebody up to take your place.
Your relief pitcher? You want a closer? Is that what you're saying? You want a closer?
I don't know if the closer's currently on the team.
Okay.
I think the point that he's trying to say is, like, if you're not doing your job, you're going to send that down and someone's going to take
it. Javier Baez is ready to come in and hit a home run or two. He's going to swing away.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out.
I was looking at him today. I'm so excited. I still am about him, but he's really struggling right now. And I really want him to do very well.
It's the end of the season. The adrenaline of being called up has worn off a little bit. Let me take a...
He strikes out just so much, though.
They don't pay him to hit those singles and doubles, my friend. They're paying him to hit home runs.
He's swinging. He's like Casey at the bat, and a lot of times he doesn't hit anything.
That's going to happen. Who holds the record for the most strikeouts? Is it still Babe Ruth?
I don't know. It depends on how the season ends for Javier.
All right, you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's Ought to Be at a Law. It's Tuesday night. State Senator Dan Katowski's on the line with us. Give us a call at 312-981-7200. You can text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. And if we pick your law, you could win a $25 gift card to Paisano's Pasta and pizza. I'm going to tell you something. That pizza is so good. We'll be right back after this. It ought to be a law that every Tuesday we have State Senator Dan Katowski on the line. Oh, wait a minute. It's part of the schedule. We don't have to make it a law. So we'll just make it part of the schedule. No legislation.
I'll take that law. I'm supportive. Hey, by the way, I think this is it's the greatest thing about the internet. The person who had the most strikeouts in history of baseball was Reggie Jackson. 2,597 strikeouts.
I knew it had to be some hot dog.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. He was Mr. October. He delivered in the clutch. So what does that tell you, you know?
Yeah.
He may strike out a few times, but at the end of the day, you get an opportunity to get up there and hit the ball again and deliver.
You know, I forgot to mention this yesterday, Senator. Yesterday, a day in Chicago history was the day in 1920 that the grand jury convened to investigate the Chicago Black Sox in 1920. I thought it was interesting. Just to
And the most strikeouts in one season is held by Mark Reynolds in 2009 when he struck out 223 times.
You know, Craig's like, why the heck is Dan looking around the internet? I'm supposed to be doing that. That's what you're saying.
It's not that at all. I just felt bad. You used a very famous Yankee, and I wanted to change it to someone else.
Who did Mark Reynolds play for?
Mark Reynolds played for a lot of teams. One of them that you'd be familiar with might be local.
The Brewers? What?
Yeah, he did play for the Brewers. Yes, that is true.
Is that right?
Yes, you're correct.
That's local.
Look at that.
Strikeout, all-time leaders in the baseball almanac. Reggie Jackson, Jim Thorne, Adam Dunn, Sammy Sosa, Alex Rodriguez. Let's see, where is Babe Ruth? He's on here somewhere. Oh, wow. He's pretty far down the list. All right. I was wrong. At some point, he held the record. Who is Jim Thorne? Oh, that's Jim Thorne. Oh, Tome. Is that Tome?
Jim Tomey. He played for the White Sox.
I should probably wear my glasses when I do things like this.
We can switch back to law stuff. We can stop talking about sports.
Sammy Sosa's number four.
You're really...
Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt's number 10.
Yes, he is.
I'm looking mostly for Derek Jeter's number 14.
Oh, Jeter's great.
Ken Griffey.
Are you just grabbing this stuff out of your memory, Pat?
No, that's exactly what I did. No, I have the list in front of me. I have the all-time strikeout leaders. Hank Aaron is on the list. But anyway, I digress, clearly. We went into baseball. Let's find out what Joe's law is. We have Joe. Hey, Pumpkin, how you doing?
Got a side comment. You look cute in your little baseball cap during the seventh inning.
Oh, thank you.
Even though your mics weren't on. Whatever.
Even though you couldn't hear me. You could see me, but you couldn't hear me. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, listen, there should be a law against not creating a new airport that is not wanted by the airlines and not needed by the public.
Okay.
You already got Rockford, O'Hare, mm-hmm. Midway, and Gary.
Gary, sure. Who wants an airport? Who's trying to get
it? Piatone, yeah, exactly. I'm just wondering and curious if the Jacksons, senior and junior, still have pretty substantial land holdings around Piatone and a few other public officials.
That seems outside of our realm of knowledge as to whether or not they are landholders in the area that may or may not become an airport. But thank you for asking, Joe. Do you know anything about the airport, about Piatone? They're still trying to do that airport there, Senator?
Yeah, they're still trying to move forward on it. I mean, I know that's been it's part of the plan, trying to move forward. And
is there a bigger demand?
I don't have anything to update you on Piatone's progress. But,
okay. No.
Today it hasn't been built.
Okay. So, that's good to know. All right. That's the progress.
Good update. You want a couple texts?
Hold on. I do think that we have to have a senator now do the Piatone progress report every week, and which is going to be it's still not built. I think I kind of – it's just every week you say, nope, still not built.
Any progress at all? None.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, so our text, you go.
From the 630, it should be a law that bars have gated parking lots. The only way to get out of these parking lots would be to blow into a breathalyzer and make sure you're under the legal limit. That's from Rich.
Rich.
And then there's another one from 616. Ought to be a law that we have a choice in what cable company we get to pick. I hate Comcast.
So, why don't you get DirecTV?
I don't know. This guy just thinks there's only one cable choice, apparently.
Okay.
I think RCN's a choice, too, there, 616. You could go that way.
And everybody seems to like Netflix a lot. Why don't you just watch
it? Yeah, just do that. Yes. Cut the cord.
Cut the cord. Okay, so breathalyzer gate. And what was it?
Cable.
Cable choices. What was the name for the – was it a name or just a
– Just the 616.
616. Let's see what Lester has. Lester, what's your law?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Interstate 88, there's a stretch from Aurora to about the 100-mile marker, which is right before DeKalb. The speed limit goes up for cars for 70 miles an hour. Truck speed limit, for no apparent reason other than the fact that it's still in Kane County, is at 55 miles an hour. What they need to do is lower the truck speed limit to 65 and raise the truck speed limit to 65 and lower the speed limit
for cars.
For the cars, because you've got people moving at such different speeds. They're just accidents. It's ridiculous. Dangerous as all heck. And just because of where the county line happens to be, nobody has enough brains to do something about it. In Michigan, they had the same situation over there, and they ended up raising the truck speed limit to 60 because the two different speed limits are so dangerous. Because you've got the trucks loping along at 55, and they also, you have Kane County sitting out there doing a little revenue job every once in a while. There'll be nobody out there. People will be buzzing along at about 62 in a truck, and then all of a sudden they're going to decide they're going to revenue, and they pull over everybody. And, you know, it just, there's no common sense whatsoever. And I think whether you're talking state government or local government, or particularly federal government, people got to start using their heads.
All right. I got to use my head right here and take a break, and then we're going to figure out whose law gets passed right after this, 720 WGN. Okay, we have one more law. I don't know if we have any more on the text screen. We have one on Facebook from Christy, a Lane Tech alum, and she says, it ought to be a law that you don't have to wait until 6 p.m. the night before to put your can out and then buy bags to put your grass in, then still pay for stickers to put on the bags. Then, God forbid, you don't bundle your sticks. Oh, hell, don't put any food residue in your recycle. And, oh, my God, no more rules. And this is all after you've already paid for pickup. Can you tell it was trash day today? So that's from an Lane Tech alum. So that's Christy's rule is the trash day takeout rules. So what do we have so far? We have Alan's road law that once a road's been there for over 20 years, you should not be able to then make it a tollway. Then Dwayne wants to eject politicians and bring people up from the minor leagues if you're not getting the job done. Joe would like there to be no new airports and possibly definitely not on Jesse Jackson Jr. or Senior land holdings, I believe. I'm not sure. Rich would like breathalyzer gates at bars so that if you are drunk, you can only get out of the parking lot by car. I'm guessing you're allowed to walk out, but you cannot drive out if you can't blow into the breathalyzer and pass the test. 616 would like there to be more cable choices. Lester would like I-88 from Kane County to the 100-mile marker to have the trucks should go faster and the cars should go slower, I believe. Does that sound like I've summed everybody up, Senator?
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting. Do we have any other texts? Do we have any last minutes?
A couple more about term limits. A lot of people really like to talk about term limits.
We'll lump that into Dwayne.
Yeah, that can be the point.
So there you go. I'm going to vote for the breathalyzer gate. I like that a lot. If you drive up to a bar, you can only park in their breathalyzed locked gates parking lot. No? Craig, what would you like?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. That is a great law that should be in place right away.
You sound like you're feeling threatened by me. Like
No. I 100% agree. We've talked about it before on your show and on other shows they've talked about it, but absolutely this is,
I like
that
one.
That's great.
Senator?
Two things. The Piatone.
Yes.
I just checked. It's not been built yet. the time we've been talking.
The Piatone progress report from Senator Dan Katowski, not built yet. Thank you,
not
sir.
Not built yet. And secondly, I think that idea is an excellent one about the breathalyzer at the gates and parking lots. I think that would be
effective.
I like that a lot.
Do you think Senator Katowski could give us a forecast for when Piatone might be starting to be built? If are we looking at like a 7-day here or what?
No progress on the horizon.
You know what? I'm starting to not like Craig because then now he put me in a bad spot. Now I actually have a prognostic.
Yeah, no progress. Just report. I think just the report with the information that you currently have in your possession should be all we need to go by. Steve Ruxton, in order for us to get to your news, you have to vote. I don't know if you've been able to follow on this.
Oh, I'm following.
Excellent.
Sure.
I know you got a lot of news to cover. What would you like to vote on? Which one do you pick?
The last one.
Excellent. You want to go with cars slower, trucks faster on I-88 from Kane County to the 100-mile marker. You didn't think I had that much information.
I'm trying to be funny.
No, it was great. That's a good one. But you lose. So we're going to go with the breathalyzer gates for Rich, our texter. And thank you all so much for playing along. Senator, next week we expect a full report on the Piatone Airport progress. And also...
along with a potential forecast, if he's feeling up to it.
No, I would prefer...
I will be ready for you, Craig. I would be ready.
I would prefer that you fix the state. So please get on that. All right.
Oh, wow. And on a sober note, thank you.
Thank you, Senator. No, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you in just a moment. Thank you so much for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I have a son who has autism, and I know why he has autism as opposed to, well, and I don't know why his neurological disorder sort of evolved when in utero, but my son is missing some of the fibers that connect the left side with the right side of his brain. He has a corpus callosum disorder. So I know that my son's disorder was not caused by vaccinations. Now, I get pulled into arguments about this all the time with parents who are extremely passionate, who are emotional, who some who say that they know for a fact, and I can't argue with them because it is such a touchy subject. I will say I was in a makeup chair in Los Angeles shooting a pilot for ABC Daytime Television with a pretty well-known celebrity whose child also has autism, and she was going on about what vaccinations have done, and the conversation came up, and someone said, I would rather my child had measles than have autism. And that's the thing. It comes down to people saying, well, what's the big deal? It's just measles. Well, we have a woman on the line who has written about this. She's an author and a mom who can tell you firsthand why it is important to understand how dangerous measles can be, because she's learned the terrifying truth. We have on the line with us Margaret Harmon, who has written a piece in the LA Times. Hey, Margaret, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us this late, or pretty early.
Well, yes, we discovered the hard way that it isn't just measles, but it's the complications of measles. And, of course, chickenpox and the other diseases have those problems, too. But our experience was in 1970, we were on a Fulbright cultural exchange, and my husband and I moved to the Midlands of England. And we had a 5-year-old daughter and a 10-month-old son. And the 5-year-old, of course, had all her vaccinations, but a 10-month-old wasn't old enough to get his measles vaccination. But our pediatrician said, well, you're going to England, for heaven's sakes. You're not going to the moon. Just get it there.
Okay.
So we waited till we got there and moved in and so on. And the pediatrician said, we don't do those. No, we don't do those.
And why would they it was just not practiced then?
They just weren't doing measles vaccinations. Okay. And I don't know which other diseases they were not. But... we didn't worry about it. It's not that we were evil. We were naive. And we'd lived in the United States where, you know, we haven't had epidemics that were sweeping. You know, I can remember my grandmother telling me about that her favorite baby sister died of diphtheria. Mm-hmm. But what was that, the 1880s?
Right.
You know, we didn't worry about epidemics. But in England in 1970, they had epidemics sweeping the country. Mm. So we had wonderful friends and good jobs, and everything was wonderful. And a few months into our stay, we were at a friend's house, and their kids were playing, and the mothers were laughing and talking. And the host, little boy, Ian, gave this enormous sneeze. And our son had just learned to walk, and he was oblivious, of course. He toddled right through the cloud.
Sure.
And so there was this big silence. And 3 days later, Ian's mother called and said he has the measles.
Okay.
And
wow.
The epidemic was sweeping. Well, our 5-year-old daughter got the measles. It's once an epidemic gets going, even the vaccinated kids get it.
Right.
And so, but our son, when he got the measles, his body temperature, his torso and his head were so hot that we couldn't even touch him to comfort him. And then his extremities got very cold, and his fingernails and toenails were purple. So a pediatrician, or a doctor anyway, came to the house, and he said, if he lives through the night, well, I don't even remember what he said after that.
Right. Becomes underwater, doesn't it?
Yeah. So he did live through the night, and I am one of these log keepers, so I kept a log of, you know, his color, every drop that went in, every drop that came out, and he somehow made it through the measles, but it was horrible. And it, you know, his eyes were so light sensitive. We had cardboard in the window in his room and everything.
Right.
But this strong little brave boy recovered. Well, it took him about 2 months to kind of get better, but we're Southern Californians, okay? Living in England, it snowed. And so I wanted him to play in the snow just a little tiny bit. He was a little too tired. He really didn't want to do it. The guilt will stay with me the rest of my life, of course. And I said, come on, and just let's make a tiny snowman.
Mm-hmm.
So he went outside. He's always been a good sport.
Right.
Went outside. We made a little snowman. He came back in, and he was too tired. And the next day or so, I took him to the doctor again. You know how moms know it's something
right.
was wrong. So, and the pediatrician said, you Americans, you want your kids to be completely healthy. Just put him in his pushchair and take him for a walk.
Ooh.
So I did, we came home and had a little snack. And then his dad's car pulled into the driveway, and the excitement of seeing his daddy coming home from work, he just fell over backwards into a convulsion.
So
we were carrying this limp toddler out to the car, and some people across the street, some really nice neighbors, said, let us. So they drove us, because you had to go from hospital to hospital to find a pediatric ER.
Mm-hmm.
So we found finally a pediatric ER, and we were on the way, and all of a sudden, our son was lying on my lap in the back seat, and he just stopped breathing, and he turned blue.
Oh, God.
And I said, he's died.
Oh.
So we were trying to figure out what to do, and then he started breathing again, and this color came back to normal. Well, we found a pediatric ER,
mm-hmm.
took him in, and they put him in the encephalitis ward, which, of course, you know, 2 months after you have measles, that's what else is it, ladies, if it's got, you know, convulsions.
Right.
He was the only child in there who was able to talk. The other children were in a vegetative state or, you know, being fed with tubes, the pump, you know, the plastic pump tubes.
Right.
So, anyway, he survived that. They didn't give us a diagnosis, but the meds were anti-convulsion, anti-seizure things.
Right.
So by the time we got back to the U.S. and got a diagnosis, that our pediatrician said, of course, that was measles encephalitis, and what you're lucky about is that it must have done a whole brain. It must have gone over his whole brain. It didn't settle in one area. Because I had grown up with a family friend who had measles encephalitis at age 3, and he was this beautiful young man with the mind of a preschooler afraid of strangers.
Right.
So I thought, oh, no, this can't be happening to my baby. Well, anyway, when he came home, his body had lost the ability to regulate his temperature. So he would start to have a seizure if he got just a little bit warm. So what I did is I checked him about every 20 minutes, pretty much around the clock. You know, it was a little longer at night. But what I would do is if he was taking a nap, I would go in and then, you know how you lift somebody's sheet and kind of go, you know, to let air get under there,
mm-hmm.
you know? Okay, I did that for him, and then...
So you were trying to like help him regulate his temperature.
From the outside, mm-hmm. an adult just regulated his body temperature for him, and he couldn't ride in the back seat of the car because the air was too intense, too hot back there.
Right.
So anyway, it took us another couple of years of any time you'd see his cheeks get pink, you whip off his shirt and you know push down his socks. And he has grown, and he is fine now, but it kind of set him up for some other things, too. I mean,
Well, because let's explain just briefly, just for people who are like not even familiar with the word encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain and usually caused by viral infections.
Yes, and measles encephalitis is a complication of measles. Mm-hmm. And that good point is the reason we're saying don't scoff at childhood diseases is
right.
that each of them has a complication or two that make it not something to play with. For example, the people who drove us to the ER for our son, their daughter was deaf, and the reason is the mother got measles while she was pregnant, and their baby was born deaf.
Mm-hmm. And I believe boys can be sterile as they recover from measles as well.
Yes. So,
there are fatalities, you know, as far as like, you know, measles among.
He could have easily died.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's an inflammation of the brain obviously can cause all kinds of complications. And my guess is, as your doctor was saying, if it had only attacked one part of the brain, it could have been the language. It could have been gross motor or, you know, the part that regulates, you know, the heart and lungs, because you need your brain to be fully functioning to control the rest of your body.
Yes.
Wow. That is so scary. So, so you are you in California?
Yes, San Diego, California.
And are you, so it does seem like there is a concentration of anti-vaxxers is what they call the personal belief exemptions in California, which is, and there's parts of California that are more than 20%, which is dangerous for the herd population, because you need it to be a herd vaccinated population in order for it to be safe for even those who are vaccinated.
Exactly.
It's just so scary. And do you get in arguments with people, or is this the kind of thing where you wrote it and you wanted to put it out there as somebody who has, you know, sort of seen the effects of this?
Well, the reason I wrote it is that there was an article in the Los Angeles Times the week before about Dr. Robert Sears, who said, well, I don't, to people who don't want to vaccinate their children, he said, well, it may not be good for public health, but I think it might be safe for your child individually. And it made me so mad.
Which is what they...
How selfish is... Are we a tribe or are we a bunch of enemies living together? You can't make a selfish decision that's going to endanger everybody else. Also, bacteria don't care whether you're rich, poor...
Mm-mm.
You know,
right. Well, here in 1994, they started the vaccines for children program, and that was implemented again in 1994. And by 2000, measles were eradicated.
Yes, they were gone.
Gone. Absolutely gone. And now there are outbreaks around the country. The worst measles outbreak in 20 years continues to grow. There are cases in Ohio, California, throughout the East Coast and West Coast. And it's predominantly because of these people who are having personal belief exemptions. Mm-hmm. It is scary that the numbers of autism are rising? It's, you know, and you know, in the last couple of years, it's gone from 1 in 100 to 1 in 70. And now for boys, I believe it's 1 in 50. But there haven't been any studies that prove it's the vaccinations.
Well, and also Dr. Andrew Wakefield in England, who did the study saying that autism was related to vaccinations, he has had his license revoked. Mm-hmm. He admitted it was false information.
Right.
That's not, you know, we mustn't base our decisions on that. And I think some people are not evil. They are
right.
just careless, and they haven't really looked at it, and they haven't seen measles themselves. And we get complacent when we don't see the dangers ourselves. So that's why I wrote this, because I thought if you have a life experience that is horrible, our son will not let me use the name in the article. He doesn't want anyone to know who he is about this. But I said, we have to share this because other people's lives are on the line.
Well, I want to tell you that one of our listeners, Christina Wants-Fixmer, who's a close friend of the show, she says, many thanks to Margaret Harmon. She is awesome for sharing her story. So I know that you're probably getting a positive response.
I am, actually. I am getting a very positive response.
And I'm sure you're also getting the backlash, because I get those as well.
I haven't. The backlash has, knock on wood, has not been bad for me yet.
Oh, good. Because it is a very passionate story. It is a very passionate topic, on both sides of it. But, you know, so many people, you know, there's fear. People want to have answers, and we don't blame them for that. But this, you know, this is not the way to go at the expense of public health.
And I am not in the pocket of Big Pharma. I'm an organic. I grow some of my own food. I'm an exercise-aholic. I do problem solving and meditation instead of, or I do exercise instead of.
Right.
Because I'm a wired person, as you can tell.
Same way.
So, you know, I mean, I avoid medication every chance I get, but vaccinations that provide herd immunity, that keep everybody safe, okay. Mm-hmm. I do that.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you've shared the story. And again, she's not in Big Pharma's pocket. She's telling the story of her son being caught in the measles epidemic in hopes that we can avoid another one. We'd love to have you back to talk about your book, The Genie Who Had Wishes of His Own, 21st Century Fables. We'd love to have you on to talk about that sometime.
Thank you very much.
It's Margaret Harmon. Can we follow you on Twitter?
Absolutely.
What's the Twitter handle?
I don't know. Oh, I don't have it. I don't have it. But I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. But her piece is in the LA Times. Go to the LA Times Opinion, and you can also find the link on my Facebook page. Margaret, you have a great evening, and thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. We'll do it again. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. So we were getting some texts during that segment when we were talking to Margaret Harmon about the dangers of not vaccinating. We've actually talked to our friend Dr. Murphy about the dangers as well, not having having a herd population that is vaccinated. So you need at least 90%, if I recall correctly, to be vaccinated so that everyone is safe. Otherwise, I'll make that number vulnerable. If you have less than 90% vaccinated, even those who are vaccinated may contract various diseases that could be prevented. I don't know what to tell people that really believe I don't even know where the research comes from. I mean, because both sides will say, well, your researchers are in the pockets of pharma. And, you know, both sides, but your researchers are, you know, I don't know where they're from. I don't know. It's another thing is that, like, everyone can just give you numbers, right? Rob Schneider, did you see that Rob Schneider was dropped from the State Farm commercials?
No.
So Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon had the "We Pump You Up" State Farm commercials. And have you seen that?
I have.
So they're bringing back some of the Saturday Night Live characters mm-hmm. that do their classic bits. Rob Schneider was dropped from State Farm because
he did the Office one, right?
Yeah.
The making copies.
Yes, because of his anti-vaccination stance. He's very public about the fact that he relates vaccinations to autism. And because State Farm obviously would like you to be healthy, they
an insurance company, they seem invested in you staying healthy.
They decided that was contradictory to their
It's a minority. I don't know when minorities have to kind of accept that they might not
be
right.
Let's say the minority opinion. Not minorities.
No, right. It's not a minority as in a group of people. Yeah, it's a minority opinion. There's a small amount of people that believe this. And the same is true for, like, you know, some other things that we talk about every once in a while. And if you're in a really small group of people that believe something, maybe you start to question if you're in the right group.
Oh, boy. I think there must be things that I believe, but I'm just not loud about them.
I mean,
am I in the minority?
I don't know if that religious things and, you know, that kind of stuff is the same, but let's talk about, like, scientific, you know, testable things.
You're saying that ghosts are not testable?
I don't know if they're as testable. I don't know that a lot of scientists
do it. You know that energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
I've heard that before.
So the soul has to go somewhere.
Interesting. If there is a soul, I think. Anyway, no, but for the things like this, if you're in a really small group of people that believe something, maybe it's not going to be right. And if you don't have any real facts to back up your opinion,
then why do so many people then believe them and then put us all at risk?
I don't know.
Risk?
And those people are always really loud.
Super loud.
Super loud, especially on social media and the internets. Mm-hmm. They seem to know how to type.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It is bad. What did we had a texter that said thank you.
A texter that said from the 847, I'm so glad you're talking about this. Thank you so much. It all started when Jenny McCarthy spread her vicious rumors in the 90s. And there's a lot of capital and exclamation points.
It's funny that people think it was that long ago because I know exactly.
Yeah, it was in the
2000s. Her son and my son are similar in age. Maybe I think her son is a year older. So I was sitting there watching her on talk shows talking about this and thinking, oh, you know, that sounds like something that, I mean, because you want answers, you want solutions, you want, you know, you would love to think, well, if we just have, if, you know, if we use chelation. Chelation is some sort of procedure by which you remove minerals from the blood. And then I believe hyperbaric oxygen chambers, which that one, I've actually talked to a couple of doctors who, you know, it does help for stroke patients, burn victims. And but there's no proof right now. I mean, there are people who believe, and actually in the disorder that Declan has, which is the corpus callosum disorder, I read about a mom who really believes that it worked for her. But I mean, there's no, they don't have any studies. And unfortunately, you can't put all of your hope in stuff that isn't proven. I mean, it would be great to be able to spend all the money you wanted and all the treatments. But we do know that that there are diseases that are preventable, and believing that vaccinations, that not vaccinating your child may prevent them from having autism. I wonder of the population that's not vaccinated, because there are, you know, there are parts of California where it's 20%. I've been curious to find out if then none of those children have autism, and I don't know if anyone has those numbers to share with us, and I don't know that they would. So if there are these pockets in California where up to 20% of the children are no longer being vaccinated and causing a general public health risk, are then all of those children, not one of them, with autism? Do we have any? I don't know. Let's find that out. I'm just curious. And I know that there's a medical practice in the Chicagoland area where they also do not vaccinate. So I want to know if that doctor's practice then also is immune. Uh-huh. See what I did there? From autism. Not a single child has autism in that practice? So those are just questions that I have. Then maybe there's something to it as far as wanting to pay attention to. See, what Holly Robinson says, that she believes her son's immune system was vulnerable. So when he was vaccinated, she believes that that was what triggered the autism. So that sounds like something she believes. But on the other hand, Holly Robinson does a lot of things for families who are dealing with autism. I know that they've given out thousands of iPads to help families. Here, let's ask Diane. Diane, what did you want to tell us?
Hi there.
Hello.
Well, I'm a former teacher.
Okay.
And I agree thoroughly with what you're saying about autism. But I wanted to go back to your comment about diseases spreading, you know, plagues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many children that come to our schools from foreign countries, who travel from foreign countries that are not vaccinated, and they don't get vaccinated when they come here.
Oh.
And that gets spread. You know, it's the herding. I think your doctor must have talked to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
The herding mentality and how it breaks down the immune system of the entire society.
Right. If you don't have a high enough percentage of the population vaccinated, then it's a danger for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And we had a rule where every kid had to have the Hep B mm-hmm. shot before they came into school. Well, then the parents weren't vaccinating for that.
Mm-hmm.
We had them on reduced fee. They were getting it for like $3. They still weren't vaccinating. Kids would come in from foreign countries unvaccinated, but they required the teachers to have the vaccination.
Right.
It wasn't covered by insurance. You know how much that costs for an adult?
How much does it cost? I have no idea.
Almost $300.
For a vaccination?
For the fee. And it costs a child at full rate
$15.
Hmm. Tell me who's making the money.
And so when they come in, though, isn't it by law children have to be vaccinated even if they're coming in from another country in order to matriculate into the school system?
Unless the parents say it's for religious reasons, and they're not going to.
So they're exempt. So it's personal belief exemption.
Exactly.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And that goes on and on and on.
Right. And that's the thing is that, you know, as this continues, as people are, you know, it seems like they're weakening because we haven't dealt with it, because it's not immediate. Maybe that's why people mm-hmm. are lowering their guard and going, well, you know, if it's only a few, what's the big deal? And people are saying if it's just chicken pox, if it's just measles, I'd rather have my child have that than have autism.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but
please.
Everybody is on the bandwagon about nut-free classrooms, peanut-free classrooms.
Yes.
We have more children that are not vaccinated than have peanut allergies.
Right. And they do. They have peanut-free zones in all the schools. And
exactly.
And they will send
I had to check backpacks.
Yep.
I had to check backpacks. I had to check everything. And yet, we're worried about peanut allergies, and we've got kids that are not vaccinated.
Yeah, it's a dilemma.
Where's the priority?
Yeah, that's the thing is we need to figure out our priorities. I don't know how we convince people, or you know what, then convince us and have, you know, where's the research? And I, the research is on one side that these diseases have been eradicated. There has been research and the chemical that they point to, which is trimerosal, as the, you know, the factor or the chemical that causes autism hasn't even been used in these vaccinations for years. So it's first of all, the research that was done in England by that doctor has been completely completely discounted. He has admitted that he lied, and it's one of those things that seems to have gotten away from us. That's how it feels.
Well, polio has been eradicated, close quote, and the Rotary group. I want to say the Rotary men. I don't know any women, but their mission is to eradicate it in third world countries.
Right.
And they've been going around and vaccinating, and the people, you know, in some countries went ahead, they vaccinated their kids. The next generation didn't. It came back.
And it comes back. That's the thing. It will come back. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Diane.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that.
Good luck.
Thank you. You too. Have a good morning. Hi, I'm Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and you are up pretty late. Craig forwarded a article to me, producer Craig Collins, 16 comics you should check out this fall. And so not having gotten any phone calls, I realized I was probably not going to be on that list. So first of all, there's two reasons why I realize I'm probably not on the list. One, my category is not on here. They have categories. We have, first of all, we have raconteurs. I had to look it up, first of all, raconteurs. The fact that I had to look it up makes me upset that I don't even know that as a comedy style. A person who tells anecdotes in a skillful and amusing way. So a storyteller. Why couldn't they just do storytellers as the... raconteur. So I can see why the writer Jason Heidemann might not put me on the list because I had to look up raconteur. So that would be Adam Burke, very funny comedian. Sean Flannery, very fun. We actually have Sean Flannery on not too long ago. He was with Mick Betancourt. We had Sean Flannery on. He does the Blackout Diaries. Remember? Very funny.
Oh, yeah. They were great.
Derek Smith, very funny. So those are your storytellers. Let's see. Dude. Okay, got it. Dark humorist, Marty DeRosa, hysterically funny.
Uh-huh. And that's Marty a guy.
It's going to be mostly guys. There's more men. You know, the rest of what I could say for the rest of this list, not Latino. I'm going to say it for the whole, not Latino. Let's just go ahead and put, no Latinos on this, list.
No Latinos
and no Asians also on the list. I just want to say that. Okay. Dark humorists, Marty DeRosa, Junior Stopka. The other reason I'm not on the list, their ages are all here.
Yes.
Since I do not disclose my age, I believe that disqualifies me. So my category would be autobiographical. So, and I guess that would be storytelling. So I would see how I wouldn't fit in with the list. Let's see.
I don't know. I mean, it's one list. I'm sure you made other people's lists.
I have. I was on the list of the top five.
Bam.
Long time ago.
Look at you.
Me, Kevin Bozeman. It was Kevin Bozeman, me, TJ Miller, who has gone on to do movies.
Yeah, he's done some stuff.
He's in Silicon Valley.
He's really good in Silicon Valley.
Anyway, Tim Barnes. Oh, sorry, is that too loud?
Tim Barnes made the list.
Now I know he's 25 years old.
Yep.
He is in the Absurdists. They describe him as pithy.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Let me look that up. No, I love pithy. I love the word pithy. It
Barnes,
doesn't come up very often, does
who
it?
Who often describes himself as an African-American hailing from Africa, America. Pretty funny.
I love diversity. Is she black? So he will be on October 26th.
I think he's
going to
call into the show tomorrow.
Is he really?
To chat with us, yeah.
All right. Why does he come in?
He works here.
Why does he come into the show?
Well, because he's not in town.
Oh.
He just took a megabus somewhere. That's why he didn't want to call in tonight. He was super tired.
Oh. I want to say this. Our next comedian on the list, Candy Lawrence, hysterically funny, talented, so odd, so crazy funny. Sort of like a Andy Kaufman almost. Like you're sitting there going, I'm watching something amazing. And she's incredibly talented. The lanky Logan Square comic doesn't shy from the outlandish and often uses slapstick and props in her routine. And her joke, this is what's funny. You know what I hate is when people do other people's jokes. I'm going to go ahead and let Candy Lawrence's material stand on its own. But she, on November 1st, she will be at the Nasty Show at the Laugh Factory. Danny Callis, very talented. Pat McGann, I love this. Pat McGann, his style is old school. I don't even know.
He's very old school at 38. He's one of the oldest on the list, actually, too, so that's apparently old school.
Listen to this. The Beverly comedian pulls his ammo straight from dad's joke book. I'm going to go ahead and say bite me to this writer. You know, that's not... I would say that that Pat McGann's humor is precise, and he can be cynical and sarcastic in a very eloquent way. How's that? Heideman. I'm never making the list now, am I?
We can get him on the show. You want to get Jason on? He works for the Tribune Company.
Does he really?
Yeah.
All right.
We can get him on.
So I'm trying to look at the list. So, yeah, so there were dark humorous. There were, the potty mouth, Natalie Joes, who was a co-star of mine on My Life is a Joke on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Very funny. Great singer, by the way. She's in a Patsy Cline cover band.
She was born in South Bend, too, apparently.
Yes, she was.
Look at that.
So she will be on October 3rd and 4th at the Comedy Bar and October 14th at the Chicago.
Are any of these comedians at Zanies?
Yes, Pat McGann, I'm guessing, is at Pat.
Okay, but that's the only one. So they didn't really do a lot of Zanies comedians either.
There are some from the Laugh Factory. Lot of comics doing the...
The fix is in, Patty Vasquez.
Oh, no. I mean, you've got to have a wide range. These are a lot of... I didn't mention the Putterbaugh sisters. Where are the Putterbaughs?
They're on this list. Yeah, they're toward the bottom.
The Putterbaugh sisters. Danielle, 31. Oh, why am I doing the ages? I don't like...
I don't know.
Do you need to know the comedian's age? Does that, like, inform your decision to see
how much
a
I'm going to laugh at their joke?
Do you know how old Louis Black is?
No.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I don't care.
60s.
Yeah.
That has changed the fact that you want
to... No, it doesn't change. I don't need to know how old anyone is to do anything.
Yeah, dude, can we... that's the only question I have for Jason Heideman.
Why? He kept all these ages in?
Well, it was funny when our friend Mike Thomas, who's going to be on the show in a couple weeks to talk about Phil Hartman's book, he asked me how old I was, and I said, why do you want to make me lie to you right out of the gate? Why do we have to start this relationship with lies? So there you go. Who did I miss? We have, let's see, I did all these names. Natalie Joes, Mike Leibowitz. Mike Leibowitz, very funny. Ian Abramson. We mentioned Tim Barnes. Brian Babylon, very funny. Danny Callis, Pat McGann. So check out our local stand-up comics. The thing is that Second City gets a lot of attention. And of course, and they should. It's a legendary venue. But we are a city with some great stand-up comics. And yeah, go check them out. The article is in Chicago... Arts and Culture. What is this from? This is from Chicago Magazine. Okay. Uh-huh. So that is, and then he starts it out with the comics who've gone on to TV success, including T.J. Miller, Kamal Nanjiani. I used to work with all these guys, and I'm okay with that. And Hannibal Buress. Did I ever tell you that Hannibal
You're taking off too, Patty Vasquez. You got this radio show thing you're doing, and you know that seems to be going well.
The fact that I won't... Let's talk about my age thing for a second, right? No, I mean, because show business is it is a little bit different. Like, let's talk about my coach who told me, you know, when you audition for Last Comic Standing, he goes, don't mention that you have kids. And I was like, he said, you can say you're married, but don't be the mom comic. And I was like, yeah, but there haven't been any other mom comics that have, he goes, exactly. They want to skew younger for women. That's right. They're going to want the Amy Sumter. They want the, you know, Sarah Silverman, the single party girls. And that's just that's the, you know, the genre that they want for women. You know, guys, so the fact that I do radio gives me the opportunity to talk about things in a different format rather than just a set up punchline. That's why I like doing this.
Right.
And you and I have this problem when we try to book guests and they're like, well, she's a comedian. Is she going to take this seriously?
We have had that problem a couple times.
I'm just saying.
Not a lot, but it is surprising when you run across that when someone, and it's not like my email asking to book said guest says, by the way, she's a comedian. So obviously they did a little bit of background into you, noticed you were a female comedian and got afraid of that. I've booked guests for male comedians who work at this radio station and never once have I come across that issue with a guy, so I don't know what it was that they, well, she's a female comedian, she can't possibly be serious.
Well, there you go.
I don't understand that logic.
So that's one of the reasons I really love that I've started this production company with my business partner, Kevin Cleary, because I can do things and tell the stories that I want to tell without there being an age limit, a weight, you know, I have to be skinnier, I have to be younger. When you're a producer, you call the shots. And there's something powerful about that in a way that comedy sort of has a shelf life. For me, at least, it seems they want a different voice. And in radio, I get to say so much more, and I really enjoy that. So when I saw that they had come out with this list, list of the 16 top comics. Everyone gets a, you know, everyone gets their moment in the light, and I'm just I like my spotlight to be a little bit you know, more broad. I don't want it just beaming down on me with the, you know, rays of laser beams. I don't need that kind of spotlight. I enjoy having more diversity, being able to do a lot more different things rather than sort of being put in a box. Nobody puts Patty in the box. Let me just say that right now. You can't put me in the box.
Or in a corner or
unless,
something like
unless
that.
You give me something really good to eat, I'll go in the box.
Like and Reese's.
A lot of water.
If you put a lot of Reese's in a box, I'll go in that box.
Do you know that the Starbucks has dark chocolate peanut butter cups?
No. Did you see the brand new Starbucks? There's another brand new Starbucks popping up
in
downtown.
Is it in the other Starbucks?
They opened a smaller Starbucks. It's a very specific Starbucks in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
They only make certain things.
Did you see they're going to have
and
a beer flavor?
Grande sized. Sorry, go
ahead. It's a smaller one, but everything is really big.
These objects are huge, but I can only get grande.
They're coming out with a beer flavored coffee. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Can you flavor things with beer, or does it just have to be beer?
I think it just has to be beer, and it just has to be coffee.
Because if you had the non-alcoholic beer, have you had that before?
Yes.
Like O'Doul's or whatever? That doesn't taste like beer.
Makes me angry.
It's I don't know.
It's like, isn't it like going to a strip club?
I'd
like,
love to
look,
see you throw those. What is this?
This is not real. Go
like going
away.
To a strip club and what?
What?
And then nobody gets naked?
No, I mean, going to a strip club, no, you don't get to enjoy any of that. You're just looking at it.
Oh. No. I don't know how to answer that.
Kind you know what? Answer no. it. You can answer it this way. It is a strange evening, pretty late here on 720 WGN. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And I don't know if there's something in the air, but that guy, that one, we have a...
There was a gentleman that, outside of our giant Showcase Studio window.
What a weird word to use to describe that dude.
Okay, he was not acting like a gentleman, but he was a man.
Let's create the picture for people who are not familiar with the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm in a glass box.
Mm-hmm.
I have three walls that are made out of glass. They are windows. So there are three different angles at which people can just stand there and stare at us.
Yeah, we face the people.
We do. And during the day, it's kind of fun. People stand outside the window and they wave
at
and their kids.
It's kind of fun.
It is. It's fun. It's a different kind of fun. Because during the day, there are families. There are tourists. Mm-hmm. At night, there's been some alcohol involved.
Maybe.
There's a little bit of an element of shadiness.
Yes.
Shady.
You're right. As our show progresses, we actually enter into the shadiness. Because when we start 11 o'clock, it's not quite as shady yet.
Mm-hmm. It's a little festive.
Right. It's a little bit, you know, these are the people that are still going home at a reasonable hour who had a good time but maybe paced themselves.
Yeah.
And now as we get later into the show, about right now, 1 o'clock, you're starting to deal with more of the... the less responsible.
Yeah,
people.
An element of just sometimes, and sometimes, what I don't like is the banging on the window is the weirdest
one.
I mean, it startles me because I don't actually know if then someone is breaking in. It is glass. I know that.
It's supposed to be bulletproof.
Supposed to doesn't really bathe me in relief.
Since someone threw a rock through it one time?
As far as we know, it should hold up.
As far as we know, you're not going to get shot through that glass. It's going to be okay. And that man was...
Just standing there.
Well, he was doing more than just that. Because once you said to me that there was just a guy standing out there staring at you for a while...
No, but and then he put his finger to his lips and then he touched his ass, right? He touched his butt.
So that's
like,
what he did.
Like, kiss my butt?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, he was making gestures. And so my choice then is to not look at him. Right.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
I look away and I say, hey, dude outside, Craig, maybe we might want to call security.
Maybe we want to figure this out. So I tried to write him some notes on a piece of paper and hold it up to the window.
Right.
And he didn't like the notes I was writing. And the things he was trying to say back to me were something like he wanted your phone number, I think. I think that's what he was trying to do. So he must have just walked out of a bar with a group of buddies and said, hey, look, there's a girl inside the radio box. Let me see if I can pick that girl up.
I think I can get in there.
Right. I can figure this out.
I can get lucky.
It's like a maze, but if I get there...
Do men think, and 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, if a woman is being hit on, should she feel flattered by that? Should she feel like, you should feel good about yourself. If you are a woman who is sitting by herself eating dinner, and men are hitting on you, actually to the point where they come over and sit down at your table uninvited.
Ooh, see.
Are you? Am I supposed to feel good about this? Should I feel flattered? I want to know. I really, really want
to
know.
So my big thing is location, location, location to the men. If you are a woman on a bus, you do not need to be hit on there. So anyone that approaches you there is kind of wrong. Let's say you're standing at the bar, mm-hmm. having a drink, and your body language is saying that you're inviting other people to walk up to you.
And by the way, body language is, by the way, is key. So since we're going to be on TV eventually, we're going to be, this is all, not TV, but we're going to be saddle, we're going to be a podcast.
We're going to be broadcast
streamed.
On the internet.
Right. So I'm going to stand up. I'm going to start acting like we're on television.
Sure, why not?
So body language at the bar is, you know, like if she's got her elbow rested on the bar and turned out toward, you know, looking around the room.
She's looking out to the room.
Yes.
She's making eye contact with several people.
If she makes eye contact with you, especially if she smiles at you.
Right.
Ooh,
if you guys catch each other in the eye contact and she smiles, then go ahead and hit on that woman,
yes.
maybe.
You know, and I don't even know what the appropriate... I'm so sorry, guys, but most of you, God, you just are creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, creepy.
It's hard.
Just, I'm trying to think if I've ever been... I've only gone on one date with somebody who started talking to me, and I was
random in public.
Well, I was a bartender, and he would come in regularly, and he would sit down. He was a rum and coker, and so I knew his drink. So he sort of, you know, he was interested. I was, you know, kind of a trapped audience member, you know. But he would come in, but he was very nice. Awful date. So just a terrible.
Did he take you to your bar?
That would be bad.
That would have been
he
terrible.
Actually took me to a bar. We were sitting there, and I go, "Oh, you know what? I think a friend of mine was killed in a bar fight here outside."
Ooh,
and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah. Well, he's probably in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time." That's not.
That's not really an answer to that question, sir.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think the best way to hit on women, if I can guess, even though I'm a married man too now, who doesn't do that, is one of my friends who's really good at it. You just make an observation of mm-hmm. something. Like you don't go in with a line mm-hmm. or anything. You just, if there's something in the room that you can observe and point to them to observe too, you're just making a casual.
Your eyes are nearly the same size.
That's not so bad. That could work.
And the thing is, you know what's great about that, Ted, is that if a woman, like the right woman, would love that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's a quirk, like Candy Lawrence. I think that she would like that.
Well, that's, yeah. I had another friend that said that, too. He goes, you know, if I'm weird and the girls think I'm weird, they weren't the right girl for me.
That's right.
So he's going to keep striking out till he finds the one that thinks he's cute.
And maybe that's a good point. Maybe I just don't like creepy guys. You go ahead. There's some girl out there
that
loves
creepy
guys. Just loves them.
Some girl out there would love a guy trying to hit on them through a glass box.
Oh.
Somebody.
I went to Howells and Hood on Friday, mm-hmm. and it was after the Cubs game. I had my, after we sang, but were not heard. At the seventh inning stretch, I was still wearing my Cubs jersey with my name on it.
Is that like a tree falls in a forest kind of thing?
It really is. Did it really happen? There's video of it.
Yeah, it did. I saw you.
So I had my baseball. I had my little baseball hat on. I had my skirt. You know, I had a golf skirt mm-hmm. on. My baseball jersey. So and my pigtails. So it kind of looked like a costume. And I probably look younger than I am. And I was sitting there eating by myself. And first, these guys were really loud. And you know, I tell you this. He introduced himself. They were being really loud, and I happened to just look up and accidentally made eye contact and immediately went back to writing. So the guy goes, yeah, it's always important to like a nipple. That's exactly what he said. And
he just yelled it for you to hear that?
Yes. They started getting loud and saying embarrassing things, hoping that I would react and like, whoa.
My God, these men,
dear.
The things they're speaking of.
So then I kept writing, and he goes, what do you think? And then they started talking about me loudly. Like,
oh.
I guess she thinks she can get work done here, or whatever, which I do. I like writing in bars.
Yeah, I think you thought that.
Mm-hmm. So I had ordered coffee. And
so those are wrong observations.
Those are wrong. Yeah. And the waitress came over. I had ordered coffee and said she brought me a martini
mm-hmm.
and said that those guys had sent it over to me. So the guy came over and introduced himself. Wanted you to know that was I was the one that bought that drink.
That martini you're drinking now.
I bought that.
And paid for that.
I work here. I work at the Tribune. And I was like,
that's great.
That's really good. Then I work for WGN, and I'm going to go down and embarrass you.
I'm going to go talk about you.
I'm going to talk about you right now.
You should have got his name and stuff.
Yeah, I think I wrote it down. I have it somewhere. And then and then he moved along. I'm at the age now where I don't have to be the girl who like, I'll just be nice.
You're so silly.
I'm not going to be a bitch to this guy. I don't have to be that girl anymore. One, I'm married.
I don't know if it's an age thing either. I think at some point you can just decide that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about this human.
Took me a long time. I always felt like I should just be friendly, and why be bitchy and just be nice? And right. You don't have to be.
I've never sent a girl a drink. That's not a move I ever chose to do. I've paid for a drink in a certain, but I've never just sent one. Hmm. I don't know why that's an in. Is that really an in?
Because drinks are expensive?
It is kind of.
I think it's kind of an in.
But is it better if you're actually already talking to them as opposed to just sending it? Just here's a drink.
That's a good question. Bring them. I don't know. I'm going to drink it either way.
Drink it. Thank you so much, sir.
So that guy moved on. He realized he was not getting in there. And probably when he walked up to me, he realized that I was old enough to be his mom. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just saying, if I had kids when I was 16, let's say that.
Right. Yeah. Because like he had to be at least 21.
Yes. So maybe not. Anyway. So then another guy, a bigger dude and a shorter guy came over, and they really look like Lenny and George from Of Mice and Men.
Well, that's nice. At least they're going together.
They're
covering two different things in case you're into one of those two things.
Yes. Right. So Jorge, and I know that because he came over. He goes, "Hi, I'm Jorge," and he went up to give me a high five. Like now I gotta. Like, isn't it an assumption that, you know, when you put that out there, like, now I got to,
you got a high five.
I got a high five,
Don't
right?
leave Jorge hanging.
Yeah, so I high five Jorge, and his little buddy goes, "Hey, get out of here, Jorge," and hops up into the seat, because he's short.
So the little buddy.
He hops up into the seat across the table from me and just sits down at my table.
Well, you know. What was his name?
Oh, gosh. Well, here was the thing. So he sits at my table, and I'm appalled. Mm-hmm. So I never look up. I just keep writing in my notebook.
If Jorge had gotten on, or if the shorter friend had gotten on the shoulders of Jorge to form a superhuman, would you have been into that guy?
Right. I'm married, so none of this is important.
Right.
I'm mostly,
none of it's important.
I am now just observing, and actually not even observing. I'm experiencing full-on testosterone desperation. I'm just going to hit on the girl who's eating by herself at Howls and Hood.
You know, at least, though, you were at a bar. Because, and not that that's a super excuse, but mm-hmm. if you had been somewhere even less typical for people to hit on other people, it would have been even worse.
But it's a restaurant. I was sitting in a booth.
But they shouldn't do that.
So I invited John Howells to sit with me, and he's the manager there. And I said, for future reference, and we've talked about this before, if I'm going to eat alone, the host and the hostess often ask if I want to sit at the bar. I'm coming here to eat alone, which means... I'm implying that I'd like to be alone. You're asking me to do is be involved in a social situation.
Right.
So, no, I don't want to sit at the bar. So I told him that, you know, in that instance, don't also then sit us in the bar area with all the drunk. That's where they had, my table was in the bar area.
Oh, got it. So then maybe the people thought you wanted to be close to the bar.
Exactly. I wanted to be close to that. I do not. Right. I would like to eat.
They should have a study section at Howell and Hood's. And then you should get to go to the study area if you don't get to get hit on by anyone. The majority of this place is a bar/restaurant, but we do have a study section in back for the people that want to be alone. You can log into the free Wi-Fi back there. It's a very nice area. Do your own. It's cubicle.
Can we have that? Can we have the study section?
We can open a restaurant that has a study area for just people alone. We'll call it like a loner's.
So tonight I went to Kamahache, which is my favorite Japanese restaurant. Again, I get a table by myself. Offered the bar, you know, the sushi bar. No, please.
Do you think they're actually just doing that because they don't want to give a whole table to one person?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Right.
And so, bummer for you.
I'm here. I'm paying. I get the whole table.
I get the whole table. I am sorry if there's only four tops left. Maybe you should have planned ahead
for
me.
You really should have another two top.
Where's your study section? They seat me next to, it's, you know, banquette seating, you know, like that whole, just one whole, you know, the bench.
Yeah.
And so you have a chair on the other side. So I sit on the bench side. And so then I'm sharing the bench kind of with another gentleman to my left. And he's got a guy across from him. And I know right away. I mean, like, I've got a dress, I've got heels on, and I put down my backpack. By the way, I wear heels, nice
that
dress,
is another thing.
And a
you
backpack.
Do, you do typically dress in you know.
I try to look nice. Right. I just like looking professional, and I like feeling good about myself.
Right.
So does that mean again? My question.
So let's say that I'm a guy and I'm three or four drinks in, and I scan the area for people. And if you had dressed for a study section, maybe I wouldn't think that you were desiring to be hit on.
But I was wearing a baseball jersey and baseball hat on Friday.
But
night.
As you said, that kind of looks close to costumey.
It does look a little like I'm a little girl going to a baseball game.
From the 331, yes, 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 we need study sections in bars.
Yes, we need study sections.
So
I love this.
Right.
It's never going to happen.
Ted, no, it sounds so
Ted,
great.
Would you like a study session
like
in a bar?
It's like the quiet train, isn't it?
I love that. Yes, it's like the quiet car on a train.
Yeah, like, I know those type of girls from college. Like, you know, no, guys, can you please shut Friday? I need to focus on my studies. Please keep it down. Thank you.
But I don't ask anyone to keep it down.
We're
I just ask to...
and Doc Martens and classes
see,
all the time.
See, then, that's what you should wear to the bar girls. Then.
But then they create their own study section. I don't dress like that. I don't want dudes sitting at my table. So the guy next to me, so the two gentlemen next to me, and again, I'm using that term. Well, they were fine. But they were from Italy, right? So now we're going international
now we're
with
going international.
Our lecherousness. And and he's like, he goes, hello, how I don't even know how to do an Italian accent.
I can't do an Italian. I can do an Irish person for you, though.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yes, go ahead. Hit on me in Irish.
No, of course not.
No, but I know that they're Italian because they were speaking another language that kind of sounded Spanish but skeezy.
Right.
And please cue all the angry Italian listeners.
Yeah, please. You just made a whole group of people really mad.
Yeah, the Columbus Day Parade people are not going to be rushing to make you any sort
of.
No,
she's not on that.
They were skeezy not because they were speaking Italian, but because they were. Well, one, they were just.
They
you
just
know,
looked that way.
And the too much cologne and the and the
they
way
were probably speaking English, and you still thought it was skeezy just because of the people that they were.
And they right well, and then they talked to me like I should be again. This goes back to my original question: should women are we supposed to feel flattered that you talk to us like that? What we are just talking to you? Why are you being so? Why are you eating by yourself? Why talk to us?
You no. know,
you're eating by is this Italian?
Yeah, I don't know, but you don't have to be anything. I think that's part of it. You can be whatever you want to be.
Right. So I just ignore them, and they keep talking to me. So now do I have to talk to the restaurant and say, please move me? I mean, I just don't understand why I have to be the one that is put at a disadvantage because I'm eating alone and because I'm wearing a dress.
It did make you a target to eat alone. I will like being alone, not eating necessarily, but
and
just
not in the study
being
section.
In a bar alone.
Restaurant.
Not, right.
This is Kamahache.
From the 847, enjoying this conversation. Nothing better than genuine laughter. That's from Jason. But yeah, the moment that you walked into a bar restaurant, and it's not just a restaurant, there's a bar area to it that's kind of encouraging some of the people in there. And alone.
I'm saying I'm available?
You are opening yourself up to the, because you're easier to flirt with because it's just you. If you grow
exactly.
up to a group of women,
it's
harder because you're going to inevitably pick one and the other ones aren't going to like you. At least that's your assumption. Well, the one you pick might not even like you, I guess.
But girl by herself is a target.
Girl alone in anything that's sort of a bar is in trouble.
Is open.
Not that they should be. I don't think that that's right. I just think that that's the man.
That's the thought process. Right. So it is sort of the sort of biological right. So well, the hunting
I,
the sort of hunting.
If I went
gene.
To a bar with like one other buddy and it's just the two of us, which it sounds like that's what it was. It was two groups of guys just together. Their goal is to wingman for each other and pick up women. And the easiest women to flirt with are solo women.
Do I also? Yeah.
Because you can tag team. You can the two of you versus one girl. You got. More talking going in.
So what we're saying is I can't go out by myself anymore?
You really should bring at least a puppet of some kind.
Ooh, a puppet.
You should bring some sort of inflatable second person.
That's a testosterone blocker?
Yeah.
Deterrent?
Yeah. You
repellent?
Know, I'll put these ideas down on pieces of paper. We'll work on them.
A
study section in a bar.
Kind of like when people want a carpool.
Right.
Just bring a box of pads and leave them right on the table.
That's
and
nice.
Trust me.
Ted, my problem solver.
There you go.
There we go. It's pretty late. It is pretty late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and apparently, if I was to be suddenly single, I would be doing okay. That's what I've learned.
And you don't even have to go anywhere. You can just sit here.
Very.
You don't have to go. Just because of the open box and the fact that there's a bar close by.
So creepy.
You can just sit there. Can I get her phone number? Can you just come in and say hi?
And I've been me for a while. Like, for a long time, I've been myself a long, 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 long time.
Like, the whole time?
Like, my whole life, I've been me. And I don't know.
I went through a phase where I wasn't me, but I've come back.
You back around again?
There's a few years in there.
I can't remember being hit on this much.
Oh, that's good.
I guess. In my 20s, when I first started doing stand-up, maybe, and God, I was super thin. I was like 115 pounds in a size D cup. I had a lot of fun, but I don't know if it's weird, and this is in restaurants, predominantly lately in the last couple of days.
Are there always bar restaurants or some of them just restaurants? You said the one was...
So Howls and Hood has a bar restaurant, you know, and Kamahache has a bar in the front and you walk through into the nice, lovely restaurant.
Oh, got it. But that's more...
Yeah, it's a little more elegant back there.
Yeah, I don't know. We're getting a lot of texts on this topic. A lot of people want to weigh in.
Please.
From the 630. If you want to be hit on, just join Match.com. I wish guys with just women alone, that doesn't make any sense. But the first part made sense. The rest of it is just...
For men, terrific. I think that if you are trying... I agree, I was thinking about this. I mean, it's so much easier now to find people. Why you got to bother me?
I wish guys with just the women alone... I think he says, I wish guys would just leave women alone who are just trying to eat. That is Trucker Allen.
Thank you, Trucker Allen.
From the 847, bring a life-size dummy with you next time.
Yeah.
So that was, one of the
like
ideas.
Carpooling, yeah.
Right. Yeah, just, something like that.
I'm in the study section. This means
yeah, I've got a friend and we're studying together. From the 219, don't put yourself in the situation to be hit on. Go to a coffee shop if you want to study.
What if I want to eat?
I don't know.
I want to eat. No. I'm not going to study.
Food.
I happen to be eating, and I like the food at Howls and Hood.
Coffee shops are just as bad.
Yeah,
they really are. I think that wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's another one of those. If you're sitting there for a long time alone, some hipster is going
to
hit on you.
Maybe I have to go to a library and have food delivered by Grubhub. Get some of that Philly's Best.
That's really good. From the 815, pads, chocolate bars, and a glass of wine will do you good.
Mm-hmm.
From the 608, why don't you just carry a sign to put on the table that says, don't bother me, I have a social disease. That's from Andy.
But they're the ones with the social disease. Why do I have to?
It's not your fault.
No. Okay.
I was going to suggest a blow-up doll from the 630.
Excellent.
But I think a ventriloquist dummy will really do the trick, especially if you can have a conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
And now I have to learn the skill. We're talking about...
And then, from the 331 again, yes, by the way, women should be flattered because it's rarely the opposite. I would love to go out anywhere and get hit on by a ton of women. It just doesn't happen. So men, since we don't get hit on,
so I should
we
feel grateful.
You should feel good about that.
We should
that.
Feel grateful that we can't, that I can't go eat in peace. You know that moment
day.
Where you feel like really sick to your stomach because you would just like to be left alone? You should love that. You know, like when your skin itches because you feel a little bit like you're being squeezed out and a little, you're feeling a little bit victimized.
I never had that feeling.
You should totally enjoy that. Sit back and relax and enjoy it. Wow, that sounds familiar.
That sounds interesting. From the 219, you need to show off your wedding ring a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of hold it up.
So therein lies a problem right there. I think we can discuss that.
Okay.
I don't wear one.
Oh.
So that's a problem for a lot of people. If you
wear
one.
If you want that to be a tease, we can take it to break and then, because we got to take a break.
But when I wear one, I have the same problem because then it's like I'm a challenge. So I find that it doesn't really. So my real, you want to tease that? So
well, now, I don't know. I mean, we should take a
but basically what we're saying now is I'm asking for it. Okay. Thank you for staying up pretty late with us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in the historic Tribune Tower, which makes this story seem a little bit inappropriate because I'm in such a revered building. To talk about the adult video industry seems a little bit wrong, but I feel that this actually is kind of a PSA for people in case...
Before you do that, I got a couple more really funny texts.
Wait a minute. We'll do it. I feel that you're cutting me. No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. From the 630, set an urn on the table next to you and you won't have anyone bother you all night.
But now we need a sign that says, like, dad.
Right.
I'm having dinner with my dad.
And from the 815, just carry a box of Midol with you everywhere you go and keep dropping it on the floor.
Wow. A lot of people recommending that we say it's that time of the month.
Right.
As though
apparently that's a huge turnoff.
A big barrier.
Although the studies say that actually men are attracted to...
Well, as far as the pheromones, I'm guessing.
Right. It's just you become more attracted.
Attracted to us.
To, people. Without
to rage? Are you attracted to rage?
How about this? How about a sweatshirt with the silk screening of, like, five cats?
How about this?
If you have a picture of five cats on the sweatshirt, no dude is going to talk to you.
Writing under it that says mommy's house?
Yes, exactly. Mommy's babies.
How about this?
No one will talk to you.
How about dudes stop being D-bags?
Okay. Fair point. You were saying something about the porn industry?
I mean, you know what? Now I know why. You know what's so funny is, like, I've told you about how women need to be safe, and I don't blame the victims when it comes to date rape. And so, So I apparently what you're telling me is a thing that I've been telling women when they go to parties: don't drink too much, don't wear short skirts. So now I understand why this is really frustrating. So, like, because we're saying that I deserve to be
no.
I deserve to be interrupted.
I don't think we're saying that.
But no, but see,
I
that's
think
what
we're making a joke about. Ways that you could help prevent yourself from being hit on by D-bags. But every single guy is not coming up to you and hitting on you. There's
and every girl isn't being raped. Every guy is not a rapist, and every guy is not a predator.
So some men need to stop taking the social decision that men are supposed to approach women too far and doing it inappropriately.
Yes.
Because that is, unfortunately, our society.
That's brilliant.
Our society right now says that men are the approachers, women are the approachees, but you still have to do it respecting the person you're approaching. You can't just do it and say, well, I'm going to talk to this girl because I'm going to talk.
I'll tell you what, though. If their technique didn't work at least some of the time, they wouldn't keep doing it.
That's true.
Jinx.
I'm gonna blame the women that validate their skeeziness.
Right. But again, don't blame the victim, like you're saying, too, with going too far with this joke.
I'm going to encourage women to start thinking outside the box. Let's be more. Why don't we be more aggressive and so that they stop it?
You know how Facebook is very popular now. You should just take a picture of the dude that's hitting on you, and we should create a website of like, these guys are terrible.
Ooh.
And then you just put a
pictures out there. I bet you they already have that.
There's probably
these guys suck. Is there one of those?
Right.
All right.
Like,
not enter that in a search engine.
Hold on.
Smart dead.
This is my Facebook. These
don't type that in.
Guys. What?
Suck. Google, why?
It's under my record. No, this is Facebook won't let me do that.
No.
Oh, but I got phone numbers.
Dating mistakes. Dating disasters, maybe we can call it. Datingdisasters.com.
All right.
You were saying something about porn.
About porn. I was saying something about the adult video industry, and a popular star of that format said that they had to stop filming when sparks flew out from a toy she was using during a shoot. It burned her hands and nearly scathed her nethers. Missy Martinez said she was using a Hitachi magic wand, one of the world's best-selling toys, during a scene Tuesday when the handle started to heat up and sparks began firing off from where the device connects to its cord. Martinez told, now see, that's the thing, is that I think if you're using a device that has a plug, I keep the battery industry in business. Hello, we've got Jack on the line. Hey, Jack, what's up?
I'm up in Berlin, New Hampshire, and I wanted to let you know you're coming in loud and clear.
Hey, 38 states and Canada. Now we've got, we need a map and put
I got to write all these down.
Okay, so you're where in New Hampshire?
I'm in Berlin, New Hampshire. It's up in the northern part, up in the narrowest part, and it's about 70 miles from the Canadian border.
Oh. Hey, there you go.
Do you have a fancy radio, or is this just a regular radio sitting in your house or something?
I'm talking off my cell phone.
Excellent.
Nice.
Well, we are so grateful, Jack. Well, I hope that you're calling to tell us that you're happy you can hear us and not that you're upset about it.
Yeah, well, I'm taking my daughter back to Berlin, and then I'm heading back to Chicago. I come from Lindenhurst, up north of you guys, but I'm out here, just happened to see what the news is all about.
All right. Well, the news.
We talk about the news sometimes. Yeah,
you know what? We'll get to Mayor Emanuel right now. Thank you so much. You be safe on your drive back.
Can I ask you one more question?
Please.
Did they find that girl from Virginia that was missing?
We'll have to Google that. Hold on a second. Let me see. I don't know. I don't want to mislead you, and we shall find that out. Do you know are you familiar with which story? The girl from Virginia? We're Googling right now.
All we're doing is Googling.
Googles. It was a student from Virginia.
Hannah Graham.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the missing Virginia
student?
Yeah,
that's her name.
I'm just reading here, so this is not really great news we're doing right now.
We're talking.
It was early, and I don't think they found her yet. It doesn't look like they found her.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll talk at you when I get back home.
All right.
Jack's my name.
Awesome. Thanks,
okay?
Jack.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. The story I have here from the Washington Post here, Jack, I'll tell you what the only thing
please.
I find. A Charlottesville man has been charged in the abduction of Hannah Graham.
Yeah.
He was the last person seen, missing University of Virginia student Hannah Graham, and he's been charged with abducting her. She disappeared from the mall on September 13th, and that's all the information that I have here. They're still hoping that she can be found alive.
Yeah.
But right now, they still have not found her.
That's really sad.
So let's get him up to date on some. What we can share with him is
Rahm Emanuel
mm-hmm. is working to decriminalize certain drug laws. He pushes to reduce penalties for minor drug possession statewide. He today called on the General Assembly to decriminalize marijuana possession statewide and to reduce the penalty to a misdemeanor for those caught with 1 gram or less. How much is a gram? Like, if let's say like a baggie size. How much of the baggie does it take up?
I don't know. I never really bought pot.
Eyeballing it.
Let me Google that. Let me Google how much.
That's how we're getting our
pot?
News tonight. What would we have done 15 years ago?
No, yeah. Why don't we just do a segment? Let's Google that for you. Call in and ask us to Google anything. We'll Google it for you. Figure out what's
and
going on.
I'm hoping that's particularly helpful to people who are just driving. Otherwise,
yeah, right. Someone who's driving and can't Google it themselves.
Or if you want to see if we get a different answer than you do.
Yeah, let's all Google together. Google with Patty.
So he was testifying in front of the House Senate Joint Criminal Reform Committee in Chicago. He wants lawmakers to challenge the assumptions that are embedded in the criminal justice system. So he wants to free up our criminal justice system to address our real public safety challenges and build on the progress that has been made. He said this would change not just the criminal system and the fact that we'll save time and money, but it also will change people's lives. So, yeah, because it does affect your future employment. Mm-hmm. It stays on your record if it's more than if it's a felony, and sets your life in a different path.
Like that woman who quit her job. She said that one of the biggest things is that the trouble you get in for just small possession of weed can really affect the rest of your life. It can take away a lot of your opportunities educationally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And a gram is the smallest amount of marijuana generally available for purchase in the world. One eighth is 3.5 grams.
Okay.
So you're getting an eighth.
So if you get an eighth, that will be a felony.
Then you're still getting a felony. fourth, commonly referred to as a quad, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's too many. That's 7 grams.
The Emanuel administration estimates that 7,000 people are arrested each year for possession of 1 gram or less of marijuana. Yeah, I mean, there are people who I know that the sentencing used to be pretty stiff for different levels of possession.
Yeah,
I met a woman who'd been in jail for quite some time because she'd been found to have marijuana in her purse. I think she had like 2 joints, and was in jail for several years. I did a play at the University of Illinois Chicago, and we had to go to
Reefer Madness.
No, it was called Cage Rhythm.
Got it.
And we had to go. We interviewed inmates. We talked to former people who had been in prison and incarcerated. And a lot of them were for misdemeanor, what would now be considered misdemeanor drug possession, but at the time they were being convicted on felony charges. And it doesn't, so many people, and I believe it's disproportionate, you know, that the community that is most heavily penalized is the Black community and Latino
right.
community. And I would guess, the white, white people who are lower on the social.
Lower income or lower, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unable to procure better legal teams. I'm just saying, procure.
It's true. This is all true.
I have these things that it's a disadvantage. More likely to be pulled over.
If you have such a small amount of pot, you're probably not selling it. You're probably just consuming it. Mm-hmm. So there's really no other victims except you. And to be charged with a felony similar to, someone who's doing something much more heinous doesn't seem to be
well, the argument would be that you're then supporting other drug sales, that you're supporting the whole system and, that all the crime that's going on in Mexico.
Oh, by being a drug purchaser,
yes.
You are supporting the whole system. Well, sure, certainly, which is why it probably should just be legal.
I think, ding, 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 three times, I believe, in this segment, you have had very logical answers. I'm just going to move along pretty late.
About it did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show.
We didn't get to a lot of these stories. The Cubs, as soon as the season ends, they will begin work this weekend on the Wrigley Field renovation plan. And that's that. It's going to look different. So take a mental picture, take a physical picture, take a look at it. Remember it. It shall be gone.
Tie yourself to something and try to prevent it. Whatever you want to do.
Good luck with that. You should try to do. Try to sing the seventh inning stretch. Just go
you should
out
try.
There
you should see. Doesn't always work.
It's another thing. You know what? When the Cubs organization said, we'll make this up to you. Yeah, you can't make up a once-in-a-lifetime moment.
You should have just stayed.
And the bleachers are not going to look like that. I should have just stayed.
You should as soon as they said make it up to you, be like, okay, I'll wait till tomorrow.
It was so funny. I didn't even like the whole. Anyway, let's move on.
We didn't get to that.
Anyway, I'm really trying to.
No, get to it.
What, the Cubs?
Yeah, as much as you want to. Come on, they deserve it.
Mm, this is very sad.
It is, and the relationship
sad
is
about
over
it.
In like a week.
I know. It just seems like it does. I'm surprised at how many people believe the Cubs did it to WGN on purpose. On purpose.
There's a lot of listeners, a lot of people that are putting that out there.
My dream is that we come back together. I like to see this as a separation.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
a
not permanent.
No, I don't think it's. I think we need some time and space away from each other.
What TV show, what movie, what love story have you ever read where you didn't separate for an amount of time
yeah.
and then come back together in just a beautiful, beautiful way?
And believe that you really.
And then die together in a hospital. I mean, that's
wow.
the epitome.
We are going to be.
A notebook.
We are going to be Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal at
yeah.
the end of.
When Harry Met Sally?
Harry
I mean,
Sally.
They took so many shots.
Mm hmm.
And came so close so many times, but they were friends for a while. And mm-hmm. so we still have to be friends with the Cubs, I guess, during
yes.
this period.
Yes.
And then eventually we get back together.
And we're going to make out on New Year's Eve.
We are. And he's going to say that he loves how you get that little wrinkle over your nose when you look at me like I'm crazy, like right now. That's right, Billy Crystal.
That's what's going to happen. When
I can't wait for the Cubs to say that to us.
Yes, they're going to have to say that to us. They're going to just put a big wet one on us.
Right.
In the Twin Cities, a woman was charged with felony over a chewed seat.
Yeah. She chewed in the police car. She chewed out of a police car.
I'm sorry. This was in northern Idaho.
Yeah.
She chewed
her way out of a police car.
She chewed up the upholstery of a police car seat. She was charged. She was charged last week with felony malicious injury to property and misdemeanors, including a resisting arrest and battery on an officer and a seat.
And if they had just gone through the Taco Bell drive-thru,
yeah,
problem
just,
avoided.
Oh, man, when you get the munchies, what are you going to do, man?
You've got to eat something.
You will eat through that seat.
Right.
Oh, man. We already did the sex toy.
We did. We talked about
pumpkin
that.
Spice hummus is back in stores. I know you're all waiting with bated breath and pita bread. And pita bread.
Yeah. Right.
Rolling Stones. Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn. Maybe I should wait for...
You know, I'm not a huge fan of this, although I do like Vince Vaughn as a person. He's a great Chicagoan. I don't know if that's the same casting as Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson for being, like, as strong.
You think that's a little bit
right,
of a...
Right, it's a little bit different. I was expecting some bigger drama, you know, names than... Vince Vaughn.
And I thought they were going to have female leads.
I was really hoping for at least one.
That was like Ghostbusters.
I don't know. Well, Ghostbusters, they were thinking about doing all girls.
Yeah, I thought they were going to. I had heard that Jessica Chastain was on the list.
Oh, that's such a great idea for True Detective season 2.
Yeah, little Rachel McAdams would have been great. Someone like that.
Is she really a very dramatic actress,
though? I think
though?
She's very good, yes.
There's I like her a lot.
Yes. I think that she can be both light and serious.
Right.
So
well, that was the thing. Like Matthew McConaughey, obviously, is on the top of his game right now, and Woody Harrelson just did an amazing job.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, but he has always been capable of that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. A new Olive Garden is opening in the city. I did not know that this is the first time there's been an Olive Garden in the city of Chicago. I guess all the ones I see are in the suburbs. It's going to open later this month, featuring its new logo and remodeled design and free breadsticks and salad, of course. Am I just doing a commercial for Olive Garden? Is that what just happened? I haven't been to an Olive Garden in so long. You know what I always like about their salads? I love that they put pepperoncini on there. Those are those peppers that are kind of spicy, kind of tangy. Do they still do that? Do you go to Olive Garden ever?
I like Olive Garden, but my grandmother thinks it's wrong.
She thinks that Olive Garden is wrong?
Because she's a super Italian.
In the sense that
it's just not Italian food. She thinks that's really disrespectful to us Italians.
So they should call
it... The Olive Garden.
Just pasta. Oh, the Olive Garden?
Right.
But they're not calling it... Do they call it Italian food?
They do. The Olive Garden is an Italian restaurant, according to the people that make Olive Garden.
Would she be happier if they just call it pasta and stuff?
Yeah, if they're just like, we're American kind of, she would be okay with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I guess there's a lot of Mexicans who hate Taco Bell. I guess it's kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Same thing.
We were talking, Nick Giglio, about the new cast for True Detective.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's fine. Whatever. Vince Vaughn.
Colin Farrell rules.
Uh-huh.
Colin Farrell rules the planet.
Oh, wow. The planet?
Yes.
Vince
Vaughn is a jackass.
Yes.
But Colin Farrell rules.
So you think he'll pull Vince Vaughn in the line?
You know, Vince Vaughn has, you know, when he's not doing comedies, he seems okay in my book.
Okay, I'm trying to think of the... Well, I mean, I like
Doesn't
him.
He always just play Vince Vaughn, though? Isn't it always the
well,
same
I mean,
character?
In comedies, yeah. But, mm-hmm. like, he was in The Cell, and he was pretty good in that.
Was that Jennifer Lopez, where he's a cop, and they're going into dreams?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he the bad guy in that? No. Okay.
He was the bad guy in Psycho, in the frame-by-frame remake, the most unnecessary movie ever made.
That sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell. All right. You know, I like Colin Farrell a lot.
He's the best. I love Colin Farrell.
Okay.
It's like HBO took my two of my man crushes,
mm-hmm.
and had them play the leads in True Detective, because it's Matthew McConaughey and now it's Colin Farrell.
Right. And I guess with the Woody Harrelson and Vince Vaughn as the not your favorite people, although Woody Harrelson is incredibly...
I
do too. I think that he's always been capable of that. I mean, he's done so many great
roles. No, he's great. Woody Harrelson's great.
I'm trying to think of Vince Vaughn. I just don't see him, but I mean, and I had thought there were rumors it was going to be women, but I guess that was just a sort of...
Well, they were trying to, they were talking, they say Jessica Chastain was going to be involved. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Moss, but Elizabeth Moss was in Top of the Lake, which was terrific.
Right, she's great from Mad Men. She plays
awesome.
Peggy.
Yeah,
I love
she's
her.
Awesome, I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
So,
but it'll be interesting. I'll see. That's my because what I love coming home after the Sunday night show and watching True Detective, and then it keeps me up for an extra hour or so.
Yeah, I do that on Monday mornings. Yeah. When it went well. Now it's not on now, but.
And did you? What did you think about the Ferguson's new show, The Celebrity Name Game?
I think it's great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see David Arquette and Courtney Cox. It was just weird to see them.
They're the producers of the show.
Yeah,
It was their idea.
I didn't realize it, but I was watching it, going, "Oh, okay. I guess they're
well. They're friendly.
Yes, apparently they're producing a show together.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do if you're not friendly.
Well, I mean, they're divorced, but they're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody?
Well, I mean, my two ex-wives live out of state, so it's easy.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Yes. You were saying a friend of yours called you about the Celebrity Name Game show?
No, Steve and Johnny texted me, and they said how the mighty have fallen. The Celebrity Name Game is dreadful, and they're like huge Craig fans.
Sure.
And I was like, what are you talking? I thought it was fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
did you see the episode where they were talking about
I saw Savari show? What's her name
Mina Savari
yeah
okay they were talking about talk show the clue was talk show hosts and the clue came up and it was Craig Ferguson and the person said pointed at Craig Ferguson and said him and then the person receiving the clue said and blanked on it and Ferguson was like I'm standing right here.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff on there. I mean, that's the thing is people are going to freak out with the cameras on and trying to, you know, when it's hard to think when you're...
My favorite part of the show, and now they've shown like five episodes of it, my favorite part of the show is when Craig gives clues because he doesn't really care about the time.
He's just talking.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, most of the contestants are like, oh, we got to earn money. We got to do this really quick.
Urgency. Craig's
like, yeah, so this guy does this, he does that.
Right.
And I find that endlessly amusing.
I found that I would not have been able to say anything that Seth Rogen has done either. I would have been like, she said, like, he's got curly hair.
Oh,
and he's
Seth
got
Rogen.
A, yeah, he's got a beard.
And she did the laugh.
Yeah.
He smokes pot. Yeah.
I neither would have been able to give hints or guess that
at
all. I never would have been able to do that.
Yeah, no, I would have, you know, I would have. I would have went to Knocked Up.
Now this is a show we should get you on. If the producer are the same producers that did the Late Late Show, working on the Celebrity Name Game, they should get
but
you
it's
on.
But Tribune.
Yeah, we should. This is the show we need to get you on. That let's do that.
So
yes.
You're saying we do like a social media push to get Nick D.
Yes.
On the Celebrity Name Game.
Oh, I'm going to need to make that happen. Okay, and I hopefully
you're writing something down.
I have to write everything down. Get
she
Nick.
She takes notes during
I
the show.
I do take notes. I do get Nick on Celebrity Name Game. That's can you please
let's
make a
it.
Note?
Yeah,
can you send me that email?
Next
all right.
goal.
All right, that's our next goal. I had other goals, but this is now taken over.
No, this
for
is
me.
Number one goal now.
This is number one goal. I mean, how do you not do that?
Right,
Nick is perfect
make it
for
happen.
This.
We'll get some t-shirts made
I'm
up.
I'm very excited now. Okay, I have a goal in life. Sometimes I need goals in life, Nick.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not Nick's goal. He's not allowed to try to get on the show at all.
I don't even care if he wants
We're
to
just
or not.
Get him on.
But I just need to get him on the
right,
show.
There you go, Patty.
First of all, he'd be great on the show. And second of all, it would be great to have him on the show.
Yeah.
All right. I now have.
Well, I'll talk to Craig about it in November when he
yes,
comes to town.
So will I. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He doesn't take my calls.
No.
That's all right. It's so good to see you. I hope that I can somehow at some point stop asking you about how you still feel now about the seventh inning stretch.
Oh.
Yeah, it's still weird to me. Because I was surprised at how many people, when I came in yesterday during the day, I was surprised at how many people that work here believed we were sabotaged because of the relationship. Honestly, I'm not going to name any names, but I was sort of surprised at people coming up to me and saying that they felt that was what happened.
Wow.
But it didn't feel like
it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, listen, it was great. I don't care.
It was. It was amazing.
I don't care.
I know.
That they didn't hear us. I'm a terrible singer anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I laughed the entire time.
People were probably better off not hearing us.
And plus, we're talking about it more this way, you know? We were the only ones it's ever happened to.
Yeah.
It's Mike Gate, 2014.